Ian.
Hey.
The Washington Capitals are way too much in the news right now.
Yeah. I mean, I told you a few minutes ago that this is probably the craziest it's been since maybe we started the site.
And craziest in, like, we've been in, like, you know, we've had crazy stories about the Capitals and, like, excitement about winning the Stanley Cup. The problem right now is that all of the news is bad. There is no good news right now. You know what I mean?
And it's like, it's hitting like every hour, 2 hours. It's just nonstop. Your boy had to shower at 6 p.m. today.
Yeah. Let's just talk about showering habits late pandemic real quick. Because I am at the point now where, like, I start work at like 7:45 at the latest, and I just roll out of bed, grab, like, Eileen will bring me coffee, we'll pet the cat, and then I'll go to work, and I will, like, maybe at like 11:45 I'll have a bathroom break, and then at like 2 I get to eat and shower. So, like, all of my hygiene habits are out the window. But that's not why people are here. We're here to do the Tomcast. We are not here to talk about hockey. This is going to be the all bad news podcast. I think I'm like sensing my blood sugar levels, and I think I'm furious about stuff. So that'll be fun. That'll be a fun flavor that people maybe haven't had enough of a taste of. I think it's time to get into it. Do you have anything to say before we get into the show proper?
Hey guys, let's strap in because this one's going to be fun.
All right, let's play the intro music, and then you and I can just sort of bob our heads for a second. Oh yeah. I didn't think of a video element to this.
R-R-M-M-M-B. He's on the air.
During Monday night's game against the New York Rangers in New York, Tom Wilson did a naughty. He roughed Pavel Buchnevich. He did what most people are calling a ragdoll on Artemi Panarin. He was assessed 14 minutes of penalties in a game where the team was already down 2 players, and was fined, we learned on Tuesday, $5,000, the maximum underneath the collective bargaining agreement, for roughing Buchnevich, not for what he did to Panarin. Effectively, that was non-penalized, except for, I guess, like the 2 minutes that he got during the game. There's been a lot of fallout on this story, really, like 3 minutes before we went live with the New York Rangers. But I think, Ian, if it's all right with you, I think I want to go through everything else and maybe get to Tom last, because I feel like that's the buildup, and we have to make all the plebs listening sort of earn the Tom Wilson stuff. And honestly, the top of this story is not fun. I want to talk about the absence of TJ Oshie and the role that Coach Oshie had. I know that you've covered a lot of stories about TJ Oshie's father who just recently passed away. Do you have anything to say about what went on with TJ's father and his condition?
Well, I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but I lost my grandmother due to Alzheimer's, and I was, I think, a teenager or about to be a teenager when that happened, and it was heartbreaking because my grandmother just forgot my name, didn't know who I was. I just remember one night when we were at the nursing home and we were having this barley soup, and I just remember feeling how sad I was that she was there and where she was. And so I think Alzheimer's in general is just an evil disease. And so, like, when I heard the news today, part of me was just really sad for TJ because I know how much of a family man he is and how much they've shaped his life. But I was also happy a little bit that he got to experience the Stanley Cup with him and he got to share those moments with him before all that happened, that his dad could remember it. Because I just think that that's going to be what TJ in the end holds on to, is that he accomplished that. He got to share so much time with his dad at the end. And, you know, the Capitals were really great about getting Coach Osh involved and everything, and especially during the dad's trips and things like that. So You know, great guy, you know, but I'm glad that the Capitals gave him time to be with them, even during a crazy stretch like it is right now.
I feel like everyone, it's hard to think of anybody in the world right now that hasn't gone through some kind of degree of loss like this. And so I feel like everyone's maybe feeling this a little bit more freshly than we would in normal circumstances. But I think back really warmly to those dads and mentors trips. And obviously, like what TJ said, after he won the cup and talking about, you know, like the impact his father had on his life. That's really, really sad. And our heart goes out to the Oshie family, the whole Oshie family, for their loss. And if there's nothing else to say about that, I would be delighted to move on to something still a bummer, but not nearly as grim. Ian, are you all right with moving on to the story of Alex Ovechkin's whatever his Monday night appearance was?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's weird when I wonder if Lavi is maybe not giving the full truth as to what's going on. Like, you know, like when I looked at the video last night and reviewed it a couple of times, it looked like he messed up his ankle. And the way everything's been kind of prefaced today, which, you know, I mean, Ovi is the Russian machine. So whatever I saw in video, you know, maybe it was just a minor thing. But he did not look right. He wasn't generating a lot of power from his hip when he was going back. He looked really uncomfortable after he clinked skates with Panarin. It did not look good. I have a feeling he'll probably likely be mostly shut down for the rest of the season, but that just was concerning.
Qualify what you just said by season.
Oh, see, the weird year.
Well, the regular season, or do you mean the...
Oh, yeah, the rego.
Okay.
As you call it.
So he's been out for what, three games up in. Is it three games now? Maybe it's four?
I believe it's going to be five on Wednesday.
Okay. So Monday night was the fourth game he was should have been absent from. And earlier in the day, there's the story that we'll talk about next, which is about Kuznetsov and Samsonov and their discipline. But with Ovechkin, he was a game time decision, and then we later heard that Kuznetsov and Samsonov would not be available that night, and then all of a sudden Ovechkin's in. It's really hard for me, and I think I read about this in like the pregame or something, or no, it was in the recap. It's hard for me to tell which, you know, a moment impacted which moment. Did Ovechkin say, "Oh, I'm playing tonight," and that gave the Laviolette and the Capitals the decision to say, "Oh, then, well, we're fine sitting Kuznetsov," or did it sort of work the other way around, which is the one I'm really worried about, which is that the team decided they needed to do some punishment on Kuznetsov, and that resulted in basically forcing Alex Ovechkin to say, "Oh, no, I'm fine. I'll do what I always do. I'll spit in the dust and throw the whole damn team on my back and win this thing by myself." And then he steps on the ice and plays 39 seconds and goes, "Nope, I'm out." Like, if he aggravated that injury because the team was already shorthanded, it casts what'll be our next topic in an even worser light. That's the part I'm kind of about.
I can't even wrap my head around it because I can't even take Laviolette seriously that Ovi went out there just like, I'm not feeling it, because there was a hit. There was something that happened that you could see. So I don't know. I really, really don't know what to make of that. And I want to make of it of something. Like, again, like when he clanked skates with Panarin, it seemed like maybe a new injury. And so
I kind of like this because it seems like Artemi Panarin caused a lower body injury on a different player. And we'll talk about Artemi Panarin two action items down the agenda. It sucks. And I think the only thing that they can do right now is rest the hell out of him until the playoffs, and then you throw his body to the wind. I mean, obviously, like the Rocket Richard race was over a month and a half ago. Austin Matthews just ran away with it. He was 10 goals up last time I checked, and I believe that he's kept on scoring. Alex Ovechkin certainly has not. I don't think I want to have the conversation about like the historical import of Austin Matthews' season in like context of the rest of the history. Ovechkin's 65 goal season was still pretty nice, in my opinion. I think it's been a weird year. And I'm happy to discuss the ways in which it's been weird, but I don't think that that hits our sort of level of stuff that merits conversation today, because everything sucks. So,
The only thing I'd add to that is that the divisions,
yes,
I think, could play a huge impact on that. When you're playing the same goalies like 8 times and the same teams, who knows what that level of competition is?
Yeah. And one of those goalies.
I'm not trying to lessen Matthews, but.
Oh, I am. I'm trying to lessen Matthews. One of those goalies was January to April, Braden Holtby. And I don't think that Austin Matthews has played late April to May, Braden Holtby, at all. Who's a totally different goalie historically. We all know this.
Yeah.
Not just this year, but it also is true this year as well. Anyway, it's a really weird situation. I have only seen one person on Twitter make the "looks like the Russian machine's broken" joke at us. So thank God for that. But holy crap, is that coming?
You know what? I think you haven't been locked in, and because over the last month, the first couple of games, it was almost every tweet at us and every Facebook comment was a different joke on our name. And it and now it's kind of like, oh, he's actually hurt, and it's not fun anymore.
It's not fun.
You know
it's
what
not
I mean? Fun, no. So no one's making the puns.
Yeah.
Russian machine's got to get an oil change. Like, no one's doing that anymore. Thank God, because I wanted to throw my computer out the window. Not a violent person, but in that moment, sometimes I consider it.
Also, do you have windows in your mom's basement?
I do. Thank God, in the dungeon, the mom's dungeon.
Before we get into the back half of the show, which is going to be Naughty Boys, let's talk about Alan May. I've been trying to have, like, every time I do a playful Alan May bit, somebody comes off the top rope at me and says, like, you know, "I hope you get murdered in your sleep." And like you, when you do it, everyone knows it's kayfabe. But when I do it, first of all, everyone thinks it's you, and then does is way harsher in return.
No, I don't think people think it's kayfabe. That's why I think it works. Yeah, no, I think, you know what, I thought about it, because I saw your one, like, clown shoes joke or whatever.
Oh, that was a good one.
No, it went to too many levels, because you were going towards the low denominator crowd of Alan May's followers. And that's a hard bunch to reach, because they're only around maybe during games, and he has to retweet you to reach them. No, I mean, I wasn't really good at making fun of people, but I feel like Alan May is like the easiest person in the world to make fun of for me. Because we're just complete opposites, and I know what makes him mad, and it's just one of the greatest things of my life.
We'll get there in a bit, but I don't think that you and me and he disagree with any substance on what happened with Tom Wilson. I mean, maybe. No, I don't think we do. I remember listening pretty closely to his statements during that game. But, well, anyway, Tom Wilson's coming up. Before we get there, let's talk about Evgeny Kuznetsov and Ilya Samsonov. On Monday afternoon, we learned that, or maybe it was, I don't know when, it was sometime on Monday, Kuznetsov and Samsonov were not going to appear in Monday night's game against the Rangers because of a team decision for discipline due to them being late to a team event. That is all the information we were given at the time. And honestly, it's not that out of bounds. It actually happens with kind of regularity across the league that, like, even a star player will sleep through an alarm and be late to a meeting, and the coach is like, "You got to sit for a game." And usually it's like the coach trying to, like, make an impression. And all that seemed like it held water up until Tuesday afternoon, when we learned A, that Kuznetsov is still unlikely to play in Wednesday's game, and B, he is now on the COVID list. I'll stipulate that. Go ahead.
And Ilya Samsonov might be in protocol, but we don't know because the Capitals moved him to the taxi squad.
Yes, which is also kind of a funny, like, punitive thing to be like, "Hey, there goes your paycheck for a couple of days." I think that's how it works. Anyway,
for PR.
Did you ever see what's the guy's name? The rapper, Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Did you ever see the meme where it's just him going, "So that was a fucking lie"? Anyway, The late to a team meeting thing, I'll just say that I'm going to go ahead and say, as far as I did spend about 14 minutes looking this up earlier today. It's unprecedented in my recent memory of a player missing more than one game for being late to one team event. Knowing now that Kuznetsov is on the COVID list means either two really weird things have happened, or the data we got about the initial thing wasn't accurate, which means, like, in a long string of the Washington Capitals being shamefully unforthcoming about the details of their team, especially but not exclusively about COVID, this is just the latest. And it's a shitty one this late in the season for a player that, well, aside from what the actual behavior is of the player, I think the team is handling this absolute pissed here. Ian, your thoughts? I'm going to sit on my hands for a second.
So, I mean, I think I've heard rumblings over the last year or two since everything happened with Kuzi's prior suspension that there was, like, some unhappiness with how he'd kind of deviate from...
Are you discussing the suspension about COVID or the suspension about the white powdery substance?
The substance.
Okay.
So, like, since that season, I I've heard little rumblings here and there from here and there that there were people that were frustrated with kind of how he, like, just deviate from certain things, or maybe wouldn't go in the corners, or would just do his own thing. And so, so that's kind of been going on for a while. And so we come into this season and, you know, they have that, you know, we both agree that the COVID protocols for the NHL are kind of for show. Right, Peter? Like, everything they're doing is pretty dangerous, you know, like, at least especially in the beginning of the season without immunizations and stuff like that. So, you know, they don't take it seriously. You understand it to a point. And then they land on the COVID list and you lose, you know, the guys for a week or two. You know, Kuzi and Samsonov are out for about a month each. And then Kuzi and Samsonov land on the COVID protocol list again. You have to kind of assume that they're not taking it seriously. That would be step one in my understanding of this. Step two would be, you know, I don't even know where to go with this. It's just that when the team announced what happened the day before, I take them on face value that either they were late to a team meeting or there was something that happened that made them late to the team meeting. But they don't control the news that comes out for the COVID-19 protocol list. So
the fact, you know, that hit the wire at 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the same day that, like, the Tom Wilson S show was happening, that they had more than 24 hours to control this story and to actually, like, share it in a way that doesn't look like they have no idea what the fuck they're doing. But they have no idea what the fuck they're doing in that organization right now. They have no idea how to handle this player. I want to do a real quick display on screen for you here. This is what we're looking at here, Ian, is the ice. At a hockey, and here, like, so, like, from right here, this is where the cap's net is, and then all the way over there where you can't see here is where the opponent's net is. And I would say in, like, this zone, Kuznetsov is, like, one of the top five best players in the NHL, especially if he's coming, like, on the rush. He's also pretty damn good here and here, right? But the problem is that, like, for this area, like, anywhere here, I think that he's absolute merde, as they would say in French. And if he's the player, like, doing, like, the forecheck, there might as well not be a forecheck. Like, if he's, like, the F1 forecheck, the other team's got the puck, they're trying to break it out, that's basically no pressure at all. He's whatever he was good at in 2018, he is no longer good at. Now, who knows what the hell is going on with his extracurriculars, but it is really crummy. And
could you also extend that pink line around the entire rink, so off the rink too?
Here's some other suspect zones for Kuznetsov. Here and here and here and here and here. And, like, 250 meters this way. Yeah. Who knows what the heck's happening there?
I love
there.
The guy. You know, I love him too. One of the greatest personalities in sports. Honestly, like the guy cracks me up. I love his personality, his energy when he has it.
Great quote. Great like post game quote. There was that like 1-0 game like last week, and after, and like I was like, man, I'm like, I usually hate these games, but I actually kind of enjoyed this one. Like, I thought the Caps played really well, and Kuznetsov comes in the thing afterwards, he's like, we dominated. And I was like, yes, you did. Like, like no one has the flair to say that, but he does.
I would go as far as to say is that he, covering him, put us on the map. Like, the meteor. Our coverage of him and Chelyabinsk, it was clear that he was going to be good. You know, I feel like I knew that they were going to win a Stanley Cup once he arrived, because he was kind of like Ovechkin light again. It was like, you know, people have been making a Kuznetsov Alex Semin comparison a lot today and yesterday, which is not apt, I think, at all. Like just not at all. But in a sense that, you know, yes, Backstrom is Ovi's Robin, but in an actual sense, like if Kuzi shot more, I actually think Kuzi could put up 25, 35 goals a year easy. Like he just has that talent where, you know, it's just this double threat of players. And so, like, you know, it wasn't surprising to me that they won the Stanley Cup with all that talent. Like, he was so good in 2018, too.
Yeah.
So
so good. I mean, I thought he was, like, in the Conn Smythe conversation, or he should have been. I mean, like, obviously Ovechkin got it and earned it. But, like, what he did was amazing two-way play a year after we thought he was no longer able to do that. Like, tremendous effort. And, man, it's been squandered.
Tell me if I'm wrong. It like this experiment has to end. Like it feels like we're getting off the Kuzi bus now. Like,
so
I don't see how he stays on the team past the playoffs this year. Like, I don't see it. I'd be surprised if he keeps playing.
TSN's Bobby Margarita reported in his insider video on TSN that the Caps might trade or looking to trade Kuznetsov in the offseason, which is, I guess I would say, before all the Vrana stuff went acutely bad, I was kind of thinking that they would shop him at the deadline, just for all the same stuff. I mean, obviously he had some peaks and troughs, and like he had some moments where I was like, oh man, he's kind of turning it around. Well, I guess we'll just look in the last 24 hours and see how that did not pan out.
I wouldn't be surprised that if his name came up a few times this season already before all this happened.
Yeah, me neither. Ilya Samsonov, sort of the same boat. Would you say, at least by default, Vitek Vanacek has won the starting position?
How do you play Samsonov now? How? You know what? And you're kind of going back to the handling of the situation. They've kind of bludgeoned Kuzi and Samsonov for the fan base. I mean, obviously they did it. Like, whatever happened, they did it. And the team is trying to handle that as best as possible. They're in control of that. They messed up. So it's on them. But this situation, like the drip, 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 after the drip, 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 drip of the first fiasco, and then, you know, what happened with Kuzi a few years ago, I think people's patience is gone. And it's been squandered.
Yeah, disappointing. I'm Kevin Sorbo in Hercules. Do you want to do the line read real quick while we transition to the final topic of our
sure.
episode? We have to say disappointed in the line in Kevin Sorbo's voice.
Oh, I haven't. I don't.
You know exactly what this is. This is the Hercules disappointed.
Oh, that, yes. Sorry. Anytime you say Kevin Sorbo, I think of that episode where he's like fighting himself in a different dimension.
That's what this episode is. That's what that reference is. I forgot it.
All right. Disappointed.
Sorry. No, that's good.
Now I remember. Really, dude, I'm forgetting things. I'm getting old. I am.
Yeah, and I know you've been clogged in some long days. We will.
Yeah.
Luckily,
so much drama.
The most brain-draining topic is the one coming up right now. So let's do something we don't typically do. Our audio listeners, we're not going to be super happy with the way that this like next couple seconds of here is going to go. But I'm gonna watch the play with you if that's all right. Okay.
Sure. Are we going to just describe it?
I've got it in halftime here, right? So I'm just going to go back a couple seconds. And, oh, poor, there's Buznevich. I want to go for the overhead view here and talk about how this actually starts, right? So Vitek Vanacek is moving, like, laterally to make a save, right? And then, Van Riemsdyk and Buznevich are sort of tied up along the post. Right now, this isn't anything weird yet, right? What's going to happen now is Van Riemsdyk's stick and Buznevich are going to get, like, sort of tied up and cause Buznevich to fall sort of, like, face down, right? So Buznevich is going to take a little spill right here. I guess his Dowd sort of trips him. And then I paused right after it happened, but I think what Wilson's looking at here is Buznevich's skate in the region of Vanacek's face, which is scary, but I'll point out, not at all a like reckless or antagonistic thing to do. That's just what happens when you sort of fall down. I don't think that there's any action that we'll look at in the next couple seconds here that shows like Buznevich doing like a kicking attack at Vanacek. Do you disagree with that at all? Like,
I do think he was kind of like pushing towards the puck. I mean, I don't think it was completely falling down. I think he did make a kicking motion. Did he kick him? No.
Yeah.
Nothing like, substantial.
There's only like two things that happened.
He was just trying to push the
puck in. And none of that is like, you need to defend your goalie. So at this point, where I've just frozen here, like Wilson's sort of like off frame at the bottom and he's sort of like laid a couple punches. Do you want to say where the zone of these punches are like on the body of Buznevich?
Oh, everybody was saying that he hit him in the shoulder. Even Laviolette did. I mean, I saw him hit him in the like the side of the head, back of the head. I mean, everybody called it that. That's why he got fined, you know.
And this is the final part. So it goes to hell from here. So everyone sort of like jumps on him, and I think Buznevich, by the way, gets right up. Buznevich is fine in the moment, right? He had like a gloved punch to the head or necular region. Into the ice, which is not good. Like, don't get me wrong, this was roughing, this was deserving of a fine at this point. And then stuff sort of goes pear-shaped behind the net. So I'm gonna go back a couple seconds here and we'll get like a different angle of like the play as it elaborates, right? So here's Wilson like jamming on Buznevich, and we could see Dowd and Van Riemsdyk are sort of in the zone with it. Then the fight sort of moves to the corner. And that this is when the Panarin thing happens, right? So there's Adam Fox, who is probably not going to win the Norris. There's like that hit on, I think that's still Buznevich there, who's like prone or on his side. Was that right? Yes.
Yeah.
And then this play sort of goes on for a second, and then we get the actual infraction with, the ragdoll moment that people talk about with Panarin. So Dowd is sort of wrestling in this corner here. And then we're going to see Wilson get tackled here once by Panarin. And then here it is. Ready? Just throwing. No, not yet. He's going to get on the inside of the ice away from the boards. And then Panarin's going to get like come on him from behind. So this is like basically like the second or third time that Wilson's been they cut away right when the good part happened. And by good part, I mean the ghastly part. Here it is. Okay, so like Wilson's going to get grabbed from behind, and then he's going to sort of, not flip, but sort of pull Panarin. Here's where Panarin's helmet comes off, right there, in the back, behind the different people there. And then Wilson just sort of throws him to the ice. Now, nothing there, to me, is outside the realm of a hockey brawl, in my opinion. And throw me in a trash can if you need to. But I don't think that what I'm looking at here with, like, Wilson taking a player that was coming at him from behind, like sort of like throwing him over the shoulder, dropping him to the ice, and then pounding on him is outside the like social norms of getting in a fight in a hockey game. Do you disagree with that at all?
No, but I think we missed the part where he punched him in the back of the head kind of defenseless. I mean, that was just...
Punch Panarin in the back of the head defenseless?
No.
Buznevich.
Buznevich, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It sort of happened like up here, like at the top. There it is. You see that?
Yeah. I mean, I just think the optics of that was terrible.
And that was the fined event. But I guess I'm sort of thinking about like, that's straightforward. That's a fine. That's what like I was furious about like Kadri doing a couple years ago. Marchand did something similar to that in the playoffs a couple years ago. Wilson did it here. fine his ass. Absolutely. Even if suspension would have been warranted, a short one. I think we can talk about sort of like where the league is with Wilson right now in a second. But the part where like the Larry Brookses of the world at the New York Post says that Wilson almost did a murder. So did Keith Olbermann. I think that they are hyperbolic, and I think they're being hyperbolic in a way that is deranged. It's being hyperbolic in a way that is more about the personality involved than the play. Meaning, like, because Tom Wilson did this, it is therefore egregious and dangerous and reckless. And Tom Wilson absolutely has a pattern of doing this stuff. And you and I have been sort of some of the loudest horn blowers on that topic. I don't think this was that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I just think that he kind of took advantage of the situation. Like you said, it's like Buchnevis wasn't really doing anything with the kicks. He kind of wanted to send a message, you know, not to do that towards a goalie. You know, kicking is kind of a big no-no in hockey, just like it is with football and stuff like that. And I think he's trying to send a message with the punch, but the punch looked really bad because Buchnevis was kind of pinned on his arms. And so he could take a free shot as hard as he wanted.
Yeah.
I think he kind of held back on how hard he punched. I think the league got it right with fining him. I think the league got it right because they kind of boxed themselves into the corner, because it seems like Dobbs is kind of like more PR than actual policing, if that makes sense.
I know exactly what you mean.
And there was such a crazy, pushback last night on Twitter, everywhere, that I think you have to address it somehow. And that was kind of like a slap on the wrist to address it. I do see where people say he has no respect. I mean, yes, he does. He does have that problem sometimes. I mean, I think the punching to the back of the head, I think the doing the macho man in the penalty box, I think how he went after Panarin, while, you know, Panarin kind of climbed his back and it kind of invited it in a way. I mean, when you see it's Panarin, you can see that when he threw him to the ice the second time, like he kind of grabbed him by the shoulders and threw him face down like that. You could tell that he kind of did it in a way where he wasn't going to go further than that. Like, he kind of stopped it there. So I think he realized that it was a star player. But, I mean, when you do that in the first place, what do you think the team's going to do? Like, it just incensed them. So, I don't know. My whole thing is just that the whole Tom Wilson idea has gotten completely out of control. I think even with some Caps fans, I mean, they are not looking at it with rosy. Well, they're looking at it with rosy colored glasses instead of just kind of looking at it as what it is, you know, is that I think he does kind of play in the gray a little bit. I think he's a big guy, and a normal body check for him can devastate someone.
Yeah.
So he's got to kind of play at different rules. And then on the other hand, I think the NHL fans just in general just kind of have to realize that this is not a bad guy. I mean, we know it. I mean, we've seen this guy. I mean, I did my first TV segment with this dude, and he's one of the nicest people, you know, and that's backed up by like tons of people that know him and have been around him.
That
like,
Steve Dangle story.
You know, yeah, this, it's like it's
he was nice, yeah, wasn't he? Like in math class.
Yeah, it's just like he's not this like evil person trying to necessarily hurt people, but I do think that he does have that power and use and kind of abuses it sometimes. And I think he's still trying to figure out how to best use it. And I think Laviolette talked today about like, you know, he reminded Tom that he's got to be more careful about just, you know, kind of some of the things that he does, because he can really hurt somebody, you know?
And, yeah. All right, mask off. Let me give you the other side of it. First of all, like, I'm totally agreeing with you that a lot of what Tom Wilson does is a pattern of hockey plays that any player would do. But because Tom Wilson is so built in a particular way and goes 100% into these hits, like, dude has never not finished a check except recently, that like he's more likely to hurt somebody than would another player in a similar situation. But there's like, you know, like charging plays that are just really penalizing him for being like fast. Like he's not skating farther than people. He's just more powerful in those first couple strides. And he's a tall dude. So like a shoulder hit can be like devastating with the amount of like momentum or inertia that he's putting into some dude's like upper body. Right. That said, on the decision-making side, I think that he's made enough poor decisions to like merit the scrutiny he's received so far. Last night in the Monday game, he received a penalty, I guess, on like this probably his prior shift. Right. And then he sat in the box for 2 minutes. I believe the Rangers scored on that. I guess it was less than 2 minutes, right? Because the Rangers scored on that power play. I may be remembering this. Wilson was irate about that. And he was getting like, I was watching the clips. I was, you know, I was looking for like a screenshot for, you know, like our articles. Right. And he was hounding at the refs, hounding at what I'm certain were Rangers players off screen. He was doing like a level of not like headhunting, but like he was rearing up for a fight in a way that I don't think I've seen since that like James Neal, that like famous James Neal headhunting shift, you know, 6 years ago, where Neal was like, I need to get suspended. Someone help me get suspended. I'm going to try and cross check somebody's brain pan. Like I really feel like Wilson was on a bender here, and it's really disappointing, but also not surprising that Laviolette, Reardon, Trotz, I don't know, the guy before him, have not been able to get this player to play. I mean, I guess if anyone has, it's Trotz, which is, you know, like, respect to Barry Trotz in that respect. Like, but everyone else is either like horribly misused him or put him in a position to like hurt people and do nothing to like rein in his negative sides while like, you know, accentuating the positive, which he has a ton of, and no case made better than like the, like, you know, first goal of game five against like the Golden Knights in 2018, like where, like, you know, his big hit set off like a big shift in that, like that top line was fantastic. You know, he is a viable player, but he is out of control. Like he is. And like his modes right now, like for the last few weeks, like you've been watching, I've been watching, like he's been toning it down. He has not been finishing checks. He's also not been effective in like turning the, like getting the puck to get turned over by the other team, forcing turnovers. He hasn't been that effective. Like the Caps have been fine, but he hasn't been making like that individual impact that you really want out of Tom Wilson. Well, here's the impact that he makes on the other side.
Yeah, I think it's maybe some anger. I think he hasn't really completely let go of the enforcer role that he first got from Adam Oates. You know, if you think about it, I mean, his first year, all he did was fight. I mean, the second year, same thing too. And I think he shed it a little bit, but it's just still a big part of his game where he's got to be the guy to pick every fight and regulate everything. And you don't want him to be really focusing on that too much. I mean, sometimes it makes sense. Like sometimes Joe Thornton and Zdeno Chara drop the gloves, but most of the time they're playing. You know what I mean? They can still be physical. They can still send a message without having to knock a guy's block off, you know, do stupid stuff in the penalty box. The other thing is too, is just like, you know, he's marketing himself as this, you know, model grilling guy who has all these like, you know, all these like promotions and things that he's doing as a player, which is awesome. You know, he's a very well-known person that, you know, a lot of people root for and a lot of people know of, and he gets a lot of eyes, but you know, it just also is just, you know, if he's trying to be that person, does this sideshow aspect of him really fit into that? I hear you. Like it just, sometimes he just gets really rambunctious, like a puppy. And he can't control it.
This was okay. Like a puppy is a great example. I keep thinking of like Stan Mikita, the Chicago Blackhawks like legend, who was like, you know, a rancorous butthole on the ice for years and years, and then sort of like, you know, turned it around and became like a universally loved player. I would like to talk about Artemi Panarin for a second, and then finishing the conversation like we always should with a conversation about Twitter. Artemi Panarin will not play the rest of the season, which is what, like 3 to 5 games for the New York Rangers. The Rangers are irate about this. We'll talk more about that in a moment. And what is the nature of Artemi Panarin's injury?
Lower body.
Lower body. And when David Quinn, the head coach of the New York Rangers, was discussing his outrage at the interaction with Tom Wilson, what was the one point about Artemi Panarin that he kept emphasizing?
Well, there was two things. One, he said that he was okay and he wasn't injured after the game. And the second thing was he was very concerned about his helmet not being on his head.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Artemi Panarin was not wearing a helmet when Tom Wilson ragdolled him to the ice. And now he's injured. Yes, his injury is related to his lower body, not anything having to do with his head. But we don't need to talk about that. Just absolute, like, I don't know. I would say that this is like the attack with maximum force and minimum good faith. Like Artemi Panarin, who was on a maintenance day immediately before that game, who had widely been reported as being nursing a lower body injury beforehand, gets into a fight with Tom Wilson or a rumble, whatever you want to call it as, right? A brawl. And is not wearing a helmet at that point because he had it taken off. Gets really what ends up happening. And I'm not going back to the video again, but like he gets sort of like tangled up along the boards with some players on both teams in his skates. Like when he was sort of getting like rolled around, and I'm sure he tweaked something there, and shutting him down for the year is a great idea. But that is not like, if you were to say Artemi Panarin was injured as a result of his brawl with Tom Wilson, you may be technically correct, but you're obviously massaging the information for a particular agenda. And therefore I am going to take your perspective with less credulity than I otherwise would.
Well, I think another part of this is too, is that maybe David Quinn realized that, you know, I think they lost the Sabres a few times in the games before. They lost the Capitals, shorthanded without Ovechkin, Oshie. They didn't even have enough players, and they still lost. You know, Wilson was off the ice for 10 minutes. He might be on the hot seat. And
he should be. That team would be so much better without him. And they're getting better. Kapokako is way better in this season than he was last season. Like, I'm actually enjoying the team. Fox has a massive number of points. Like, Zibanejad can't stop scoring against the Capitals. He's going to get a hat trick Wednesday. We all know it. It's going to happen.
But perhaps this whole thing is more about Quinn kind of pushing that story as far away as possible.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I've seen this, is that, you know, the players are buying in, everybody's kind of saying the same things, which always makes me think it's a concerted effort a little bit, or a team effort. And maybe, Peter, their Stanley Cup this year, since they can't actually win one, is to get Tom Wilson suspended.
Wow.
And you know what? And you know, the fun part is that tomorrow night's going to be an absolute sideshow. And if you think about it, the smartest thing possible to do tomorrow night would be to scratch Tom Wilson.
Yes. And don't even let him near Madison Square Garden. You can't
because Kuzi can't play.
No. Here's what we do. Here's what we do. And by we, I mean, I'm the Washington Capitals now, apparently. Sorry for confusing everybody. But you just put like all of the defensive boys and you just have them play forward. There's a bazillion of them. Have Chara be first line center. Who cares? It's the Rangers. It's game 78 of 85. Okay, it's game, like, I don't know,
53 of 56. Someone's speared in the face, you know, like, it's just going to be a mess.
But you're right. The galaxy brain move is don't play Tom Wilson tomorrow night. What are you going to do about it? Let's have a moment of fun. I'm going to go back to Ian. Can you see the tweet on screen right now?
Yes, I can.
What am I looking at here? Describe this to our podcast listeners who don't have a video element.
So last night, the Capitals tweeted an image of Tom Wilson. It was a meme, I think, and I don't get any of their memes, but it said at Capitals chooses violence. And then it had a big photo of Tom Wilson, as everyone was really upset with how dangerous Tom Wilson was doing or being in the game. They were trying to land a joke, but that was not a good time to try and land a joke.
Yes, correct. When like supplemental discipline is inevitable and everyone's decrying how like excessively violent the player is, maybe don't do the woke up and chose violence meme. Capitals, I'm sure their on-base percentage for meme this season is way up over last season. They're really pulling off a reverse Chris Davis here. This one was a miss. And as soon as it came up, we're like, Ian, you and I are like, this one's not gonna survive too long.
I think me and you have been really excited, I guess, about how the Capitals have been taking more chances. Because, I mean, this has been a dreary professional bunch for years. I mean, in a weird way, they make us more relevant by not having as much fun. So they've really tried, and I commend them for that. They should. It builds a fan base. It actually brings more people to us. So do it. That's great. I really like how much fun they're having, and it's really, I think a lot of people have really enjoyed it. The amount of people I see people sharing Instagrams, like Instagram people on their from the Capitals on their Instagram stories every day after wins. A lot of people like the dumb memes. I mean, I guess I'm getting old because I'm out of touch with like half of them. I don't understand almost any of them. I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Like, I have no idea. And I feel like I watch more pop television or popular TV, popular movies than I've ever had before. Like, I'm actually cultured now, and I'm just like so furious that I never get it. You know what I mean?
You're a boomer. You can't do anything about it. You're a boomer in a millennial's body. I agree with all of that, and like the thing that is sort of crystallized in my head is like the 2021 season with like the interdivisional play only and not seeing like the rest of the league has and NBC sort of like ending their reign as like the sole media partnership of the NHL is that like the league and NBC, at least in the United States, have been horrible at sharing the like genuinely compelling personalities of players in the sport on any level below Sid and Ovi. Like anybody below that level, like if you're like, you know, a fan of your team, but there's a player one division over who's really fantastic and fun to watch and you don't get any of it. Like, our readership and like the hockey Tumblr folks and like the Reddit folks, and I swear to God, the like LGBTQIA like plus folks understand the appeal of this sport, even though they're like excluded from its supposed nucleus, a billion times better than the people that are supposed to be arbitrating its like share among the world. And if anything, we just like take the lead from what like people think is appealing, because we can't always capture it, but they do. And And it's good that the Caps are doing it. They just I don't want to say, hey pal, read the room, because that's like its own kind of like clammy boomer joke. But wolf on this one. I would like to show you one more tweet. Please, do you have something to say before I go to our last tweet?
Well, I did want to say that if you look at what Sportsnet's been doing over the last year or two, they've kind of surrounded a lot of their shows with Steve Dangle, and obviously we're close friends with Steve, and I'm not in his vein where I'm funny on video. I'm pretty straight laced, and I'm not doing this.
Okay.
I'm just not that guy. I mean, I can, but
look for my backwards hat.
I think for whatever reason, the United States presentation of hockey was very straight laced, and you know, this was like trying to create controversy with Mike Milbury and Jeremy Roenick, and it didn't let fun personalities shine through, and even like it felt the PR aspect of it felt too intentional. Like they have these interviews with players, and it just never felt interesting at all. And you know, I'm looking forward to what ESPN and Turner ends up doing. I think Turner has a long leash for trying new things and having fun. And ESPN has Weish, and he's awesome.
It's Wyshynski. You've been messing that up for 11 years now.
Yeah, I have. Yeah, you might have to.
No, I'm not editing it. I don't edit these. These go right out the door.
But I feel you on that. It's been really frustrating. So I'm glad that people are taking more chances, because you have to.
I agree. Final topic of the night. I'm going to read a tweet. It's on screen right now.
The New York Rangers are extremely disappointed that Capitals forward Tom Wilson was not suspended for his horrifying act of violence last night at Madison Square Garden. Wilson is a repeat offender with a long history of these type of acts, and we find it shocking that the NHL and the Department of Player Safety failed to make the appropriate action suspend him indefinitely. Wilson's dangerous and reckless actions caused an injury to Artemi Panarin that will prevent him from playing again this season. We view this as a dereliction of duty by NHL head of player safety, George Peros, and believe he is unfit to continue in his current role.
So that was that. This statement freaking rules. Okay, aside from the part where they attribute a lower body injury to Artemi Panarin that he was already nursing and had a maintenance day for earlier that same day, and they were maybe a little over the top about Tom Wilson, the fact that this is some Katy Carrera like flamethrower level stuff, and I love it. Remember when you made fun of them for put out a statement saying, like this, like 3 years ago, they're like, it's, you know, it's like January, and they're like, we gave up on the season. We're the Rangers. We're gonna suck. Like, that was bold. This is bolder. This is totally finable. This is something that they could totally get penalized for. And I don't know who owns the Rangers. It's, you know, a venture capital organization. But they're like, bill me. Write this one. Like, okay, the part about Wilson and stuff, nah. The part about Artemi Panarin like missing the rest of the season, which is like till Saturday. Okay, whatever. The part about saying that George Parros needs to get out of the Department of Player Safety. Absolutely. Like, no one, who's going to disagree with, like, everyone's like, hell yeah. Obviously, you're villains and I hate you. Don't get me wrong. Rangers, you're terrible. You're still paying D'Angelo. But this statement as an entertainment artifact and as like a provocation to get George Parros out rules, to change the conversation to like how totally insufficient the Department of Player Safety is, unfortunately, through the prism of Tom Wilson. Yeah, but I'm happy about like the conversation in general. I'm actually happy about the discourse somehow. Go ahead.
I want to salute the Rangers PR here. Again, protecting their coach at all costs. To get the focus on something, it's kind of like flogging a dead horse, right? It's like, let's go for the easiest win we can get by going after the Dops, who is wildly inconsistent, you know.
And everyone hates him.
And the only reason why they fined them was probably because of the Rangers, you know what I mean? The whole thing's hilarious. And you know what? It shows how much, again, how smart these people are, most of them, at NPR and just trying to switch the topic sometimes to get people focusing on other things, because the Rangers lost to the Capitals and they were missing like three guys.
I didn't even, they're in my head because I went, 52 minutes in this podcast and hardly even mentioned that. The Rangers got washed by 5-6 of the Washington Capitals. Got totally 6-3. It was a Bylamos game.
That's the only story that matters. I love everybody at NBC Sports watching it, but when the last night of the post game show, they're like, oh, what a win, how they just did this. They found the will and the gumption to beat the Rangers without 75 people on the ice. And I'm like, guys, Wilson's gonna be possibly suspended. I hope he got hurt again. What the hell is going on with Kuzi and Sammy? And you have those three things. That's the only story. The game is completely meaningless, and all they're talking about is how they got 2 points. It was such a win. You know, I was just like, I can't do this.
You're right.
I had to turn it off. I had to turn it off because it was just missing. It was just missing the story.
So as we wrap it up, you're absolutely right. Thank you for that reminder of the context we're in. Let's add one other piece of context.
I'm a dumb person, by the way. Wait. I'm a dumb person, by the way. But I have been doing this so long, you start picking it up.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's just. Anyways,
can we talk about the other layer of context that happened? Because literally 5 minutes before the Tom Wilson thing went down, like our corner of the planet had a horrible storm, like a tornado touched down. I would say 5-10 miles north of here.
For me, it was like 3.
Yes, yeah. I saw there was well, I'm not gonna name street names, but there was a street name that I'm like, no, that's on the way to Ian's place. so we're both fine. I'm sure I saw some down trees and stuff. Oh, is Ashley? Do you need to go?
No. I was looking outside. And it was horrible again. It's just today's great. It's not like a storm going through. It was like the slowest moving storm ever. So there was a tornado warning at 7, and then it expired. And they're like, okay, there was a tornado, but it's gone. We're good. And then an hour later, it came back again. And it was the same storm, but it only moved 5 miles. And it was like Armageddon.
Yes.
it was happening during sunset, but it just it looks so creepy. And so I was actually when my so my TV went completely out, so I was starting to go in and out. I was just going outside a little bit because I was just interested, which is the absolute wrong thing to do during a tornado warning. Just putting that out there. I think that's the storm chaser part of me that, you know, that would have been my other job if I didn't blog from mom's basement in real life now. But I saw a report on the TV and on the internet, and I went out. I was like, oh, that's literally right above my house. And I go out and you see this like curvature in the clouds, like a semicircle, and it was spinning. I was like, oh, that's not good.
That's not good.
And I was like, all right, I'm gonna go inside now. And it was, yeah. I mean, it's I don't know how much damage there was out here, but it was just
really scary.
Creepy storm. Yeah, it was like no wind, and then all the wind.
We're fine over here. Like nothing. Like even our house, our new place stayed dry. But I think the herb garden's not gonna make it. We're gonna have to start over. That's okay. It was like one day of nevertheless. We have gone for just about an hour, and the page view machine is going to have to keep running because the Capitals are playing the Rangers Wednesday night. It's going to be a show, but I've had a wonderful time talking. Thank you for your patience of, us not. I was like, Sam, I want to do a podcast. And you're like, you know, we have one, right? Like yeah. I was like, yes.
It's the inside shop a little bit. I'm really excited because like we have a bunch of skins. Like I've been figuring out stuff along the way, not to throw anybody under the bus, Peter, but like I need some energy from everybody else to kind of get it going. But I think either in the playoffs or like next season, I think maybe next season's more realistic. I think we're going to have some stuff. Like that's going to be really fun and exciting. So, yeah. I think we're just going to figure out how we want to do this and do it the right way and have files and stuff that we can share. And I think we're going to be really good. I'm really excited about that next phase because me and KPA have been doing a ton of work on it. So
it looks great. It'll even come sooner because the Caps might win the Stanley Cup this year.
Yeah, that's true.
Or first round disaster because no Kuznetsov, no Ovechkin. Like who knows?
Can I just say the Vanacek? I love the guy. Again, another guy I love. This guy is just the happiest go lucky son of a gun you've ever seen.
Where are you going with this?
But he is so average. Like right now.
Yes.
Like he may be really good someday, but he's like Ole Kolzig in the beginning. Really average. And you know, if he's starting every game in the playoffs, it might work out. Who knows? But, you know, I don't know how to feel about it.
Let's just enjoy the experience while we're here.
Good luck, V. Good luck, VV. I believe in you. Not really, but...
Yeah, you don't. You just said you don't, but I kind of do. Listeners, thank you so much for hanging out. I wish you a safe and happy Tuesday night, Wednesday. We'll catch you on the flip-flop. Cheers.
Bye.
And then I'll just go over to look how fancy that is, yeah? Now, we're still audible.
This has been so Russian Machine. Cool.
Let's let Wes wrap this up for us, okay?
The podcast. But now, it's over. Nothing to see here. Move along.